Oh, praise. Amen. Amen. Thanks to God ahead of my life, and God the Son, head of this church, and God the Holy Ghost, who's the head of my life and my leading, my guide, my comforter. You don't know nothing about that. He'll comfort you, the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll leave you a comforter. Amen. Dismiss with all the formalities, because we have had a baby dedication. I'm aware of the time. So I want to acknowledge our pastor, the head of this pulpit, Pastor Davidson. We thank him for allowing the opportunity to preach again in this church, my favorite place. I preach in a lot of places, including Europe. I preach there several times during my travels over there. But there's nowhere like home. Oh, well. I've gone back to my home church and preached there many, many times in Baton Rouge. But there's still no place like Hopewell. It's the love of my life. I love the Lord. I love Hopewell. I love to preach the word of God to his people. We will come today from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. You may stand for the reading of God's word. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you what?
Rest.
I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and what?
Lowly.
And lowly in heart. And ye shall find what?
Rest.
Rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. God speaks to us today from scripture. It says, rest for the stress. Rest for the stress. Are you stressed? Then the rest is coming today from this message. Time magazine noted that back in the 60s, expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. They predicted that advances in technology would radically change how many hours a week of people would work. They said they forecasted that the average, this was in the 60s, they forecasted that the average American would be working 22 hours a week within 20 years. They forecasted in the 60s that the average American would be working 22 hours a week in 20 years. The great challenge, the experts said, would be figuring out what to do with all that excess time. Almost 60 years later now, and after a major advancement in technology, how many of you are wondering what to do with all that excess time? I believe that you are not on the same scale and media that they are. Let's take a group quiz today to see how many of us are being dragged through life. Please fill in the blanks. And Bob saying that, I'm ready to throw in the what? tunnel. I'm at the end of my, I'm just a bundle of, my life is falling up. I'm at my wits. I feel like resigning from the human. You got one on that grid, because all of us are going there. Apparently, we're all experiencing the right race. But just when you thought you were getting here, along come some faster rats. But remember, he who wins the right race is still a rat. He didn't get that. We are today to make sure you're awake. We need to learn how to experience rest. I know I'm the worst person to rest. I don't sleep in the day. I don't like taking a nap. I don't like sleeping during the day. Now, once I get up, I'm up till I go to bed at night. That's my feeling and my psychology. Only time I lay down during the day now and go to sleep is when I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. You see me in the bed and sleep. In the daytime, I'm sick. We need to learn how to rest. If you need only emotional rest, we can always take a vacation. But where can we find spiritual rest? How can we obtain relief regarding the deepest issues of life at the deepest level of our hearts? The more things change, the more they stay the same. Jesus spoke to this very issue 2,000 years ago in our text. This passage contains three commands. I want you to get them and write them out. Three commands from Jesus that lead us to rest. I will experience rest for my soul as I obey Jesus' command. And the first one is to, in verse 28, come to me. Come to me, he says. Come to me. And the first one. Come all. And I will give. Come all, and I will give. Jesus regularly invited people to come to him to meet their needs. When you come to Jesus, your needs are going to be met. Amen. Notice that what Jesus did not say. He did not say, come to church to find rest. You don't find rest at church. Amen. I'm a living witness. You don't find no rest at church. You find a way to get rest. Christianity begins with meeting Christ personally. Going to McDonald's does not make you a hamburger. Going into a garage does not make you a car. Going to church does not make you a Christian. You must meet Christ personally. Tell somebody I meet him personally. Gathering information about Jesus does not make you a Christian. Joining a group does not make you a Christian. Having Christian past does not make you a Christian. I know a lot of us wish that. You become a Christian when you choose to answer his invitation to turn from your own ways and come to him. You will find that he's been waiting for you all along. Have you done that today? Can you look to a time when you decided to answer his call to come? I didn't know that it was so important to remember when you came to Jesus. Until I go. I used to hear my mama say, don't mess with that Thursday. That was the night I got saved. And 6 years later, I find myself at 77, 6 years, remember that I got saved on a Tuesday night. It was that Tuesday night, something changed. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all got those Sunday days. But I got saved and met him on a Tuesday night in a revival down in Barcelona Baptist Church about 8 o'clock. Oh, Lord. I want to hold up my speech. You say, but my life is really a mess. I don't think I'm ready to come. His invitation is come one, come all, come as you are. Spiritual rest to be given. Come to me and I will give you what? Rest. Rest for whom? Rest for number one. Rest for those who labor. Labor to the point of exhaustion. Now, a person who no good will lay down all day and never do any labor. That's not who you're talking about. That person is resting. If you come to him and you're actually working in his vineyard, then he will give you rest. He's not speaking to a working class laborer, but to sincere, conscientious people who are trying to balance the scales of good deeds versus bad deeds. You never know how your account is balanced at any time. Secondly, he calls you to rest. Rest for those who are heavy burdened and heavy laden. The word for laden in Greek means to load up or overburden, not just burden, but overburden. He gives rest to those who are burdened, those who stagger under the weight and burden of sin, living for yourself, living for your possessions, living for your promise, and living for your pleasure is a burden. Those who are dealing with a situation that they may or may not have any control over, such as a marriage that's gone apart, a child who won't listen, death in the family, and on, just plain old problem. You know, if it ain't one thing, it's another. You ever been there? Harrison Ford. Everyone know Harrison Ford? His movies have grossed over $5 million. All the total movies that he made. He said once that you only want what you ain't got. I think that's a real good statement. You only want what you ain't got. You don't want what you got. You got all that stuff. You don't want it. You want to know what you ain't got. And the person asked him, what do you not have? He said, I don't have peace. I got all this money. He said, I don't have peace. This is real. This is not fake news. Yeah. Hello. Peace was his answer. You need peace in your life. You have all the money in the world, all the things in the world, all the possessions in the world. If you don't have peace, you don't have breath. You don't have breath. Hello. The sense of relief of burden is real for all who've come to Christ. The Bible calls it peace with God. I love that. In 14th chapter of John, the 27th verse, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I will give you peace. I'm the only one that can give you peace. Cannabis can't give you peace. Opioids can't give you peace. Hello? That's why we got so many people trying to commit suicide. That's a real thing in the world because we are too stressed. We won't answer this call. come unto me and rest. I'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. Please come to him today. At altar call, God asked me to do something. I always say yes. At altar call, I brought my altar there. I will not that person or those persons who want to have peace. I'm talking about real peace. You want to have real peace. You come to Jesus, come to the altar. I'll anoint you for peace. Jesus said in the second verse, a second command, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. After you come to me, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is a type of harness that connects a pair of oxen. Listen to this very carefully. A pair of connected oxen was typically called a yoke of oxen. Used metaphorically to refer to a submission as to a teaching in New Testament time. A phrase was used to take the yoke of was used when talking about sitting under a rabbi, a teaching, taking that yoke and becoming a submitted pupil of a teaching. That's what it means. Taking that yoke means you come under Jesus and you're ready to learn. Jesus said, my yoke. Jesus said, command that we take up his yoke to find rest. There is no rest in rules and religion, but only in a personal relationship with God based on the finished work of Jesus. Mama used to say, little children, you got to know him for yourself. You need to know God for yourself. You need to know him for you. I asked you that. Do you know him for yourself? Have you tried Jesus for yourself? I'm so glad that I know him. I've tried him. I know I don't want to leave him. I better leave that alone. Because I know my Holy Ghost will come. I get beside myself because I know him for myself. I know him. A yoke pictures three things. One is I'm almost through now. A yoke pictures three things. One is connection. Be with me, he said. Be with me. Yokes are made for two, not one. Get this. Yokes are made for two, not one. We were not meant to go through life living apart from God. His yoke fits well and is lighter than the one you've been pulling by yourself. Be connected to Jesus. I saw this the other day on Facebook. I thought it was a real good statement. There are some things in life you can't tackle alone. You need help. Seeking help does not mean that you are weak. It means that you are wise. And a lot of people will not seek help. So be connected. Second thing is he said, a yoke is direction. Follow me. You cannot be yoking somebody and not following them. When they turn left, you got to turn left. You can't turn right and they're turning left. The idea of a yoke pictures the forward motion of two connected together. You cannot be yoked to Jesus and go your own way anymore. When we are truly yoked with Jesus, we will follow him and his direction for the rest of our life. Follow Jesus. The third and final thing there under yoke is cooperation. Cooperation. Work with me, he said. Come and be yoked with me. Take up on you my yoke and work with me. Cooperate with me. Jesus said, to be yoked together with Jesus means that we cooperate with his work. Before we come to him, we were living for this side of eternity. Now that we are joined with him and through his work, we are living for eternity. That's the difference. Never ever forget the great commission that Jesus gave us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We have work to do. Once we come to him, we have work to do. I certainly pray that you are doing the work of God, that you're doing the work of Jesus, that you're not just coming to give us and not doing anything else. A renowned preacher in the 18th century named George, he summarized the thought this way. The fatal mistake for the believer is to seek to bear life's load in a single column. The fatal mistake, the dying mistake of a Christian is to seek to bear life's load in a single column, not a yoke. You will never see a farmer put a yoke on an oxen when he's going to plow by himself. When he plows by himself, he puts a column. Oh, no yoke. But when you got a yoke on, you mean you got somebody else with you. If you got Jesus with you, you got the best thing the best partner you ever could have. You see, God never intended for man to carry his burden alone. Because of that fact, Jesus only deals in yokes. He does not deal in collars. He doesn't want you to have a collar. A collar means like a dog. Means you can pull him everywhere. But a yoke means you can turn and you'll go with together. You can take a dog and you can pull him anywhere with a collar. But when you have a yoke, you go with the person of your own accord, because you'll be right. So Jesus is going somewhere. Are you going somewhere? Are you going with Jesus? Amen. Yes, I'm going with Jesus all the way. Christian, I'm going to close with this third command. Verse 29, learn of me. After you come to me, after you take on my yoke, Learn of me. Now, most translations say, learn from me. I had to find this out many years ago. It was not learn of me, as the King James Version said. It's really learn from me. When you yoke with Jesus, you learn from him. Are you willing and ready to learn from Jesus? Are you open to learn from him? I had a professor in college who was fond of telling us. He loved to tell us. All of us were ignorant. He said, well, you're all ignorant. He said, just on different subjects, that's the way you're ignorant. In other words, that means that some of us know calculus, but others don't know calculus. But that means they're ignorant of calculus. Calculus. That's where we are in the world. So we need to come to Jesus and learn of him, learn from him. When we come and take up a yoke, the process of learning just begins. Study to show thyself approved, a workman of God that need not be ashamed. The rest he gives is a free gift. The rest he gives us is a free gift. There's no need to fear what Jesus might do in your life. He's gentle and humble. The more you learn about him, the more you will find your rest in him. One day, a man went to see a farmer who was plowing in his field with a team of oxen. The man knows that one of them was seemingly a little bigger than the other animal. So he asked him about it. The response from the farmer was very interesting. He said that the big animal was an older animal that was well-trained, and the smaller one was a young animal that was new to the yoke. The man went on to inquire as to why he put them together, and this is the answer that he got. Well, the man said, "You see, it's like this. That older ox is the best ox that I've ever had. He knows his way around this field. And the reason I put the younger one with him is so the older one, more knowledgeable ox, could teach him how to plow. If I never put them together, the younger one would never learn. By himself, the young ox would pull himself to death. But together, he learns to cooperate with the rest and rest in the strength of the old ox. Are you putting yourself to death? Do you feel like you're putting yourself to death? Rest comes from obedience to Jesus. Come to me. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me. You won't be putting yourself to death every day. I know many people are stressed beyond what they really realize they're stressed beyond. We go to work. We come home. We go to a ball game with our kids. We spend all day on Saturday with our kids at a volleyball game, or at a baseball game, or at a basketball tournament. And then we come to church, and we feel we're going to get rest at church. No, we come to rest to find rest, a place to get rest. Tell somebody, I'm here today to find a place to get rest. Do you come to the right place? You come to the right place. You can't get rest on Sunday by laying in the bed. Hello. All right. You think you got rest, but earliest Monday morning, right, you got to face a man. The worst thing is to be the man. You got to go there so you can face those people who work for you and direct them. I say to you that there's rest for the stress. There's rest for the stress. There's rest for the weary. I know somehow I get weary. I could quit. I've put in my time already. I've done what I kind of told God I would do in 1976 when I accepted him's calling. I've done that. But I still can't rest. There's no rest for the weary. There's no rest for the weary. You know when I get rest? In the Christian home in glory, there remains a land of rest. There my Savior's gone before me to fulfill my soul's request. He is filling up my mansions. That won't work for him. But which eternity shall stand, for my state shall not be transient in that holy, happy land. Pain and sickness never shall enter. Grief no more my lot shall share. But in that celestial heaven, I a crown of life shall wear. Death itself shall then be vanquished. death will be no more, and his singing shall be withdrawn. Shout for gladness, O ye ransom, hail with joy the rising morn. There's rest for the weary. Amen. There's rest for the restless. There's rest for the weary. There's rest for the weary. On the other side of Jordan, there's rest for the weary. On the other side of this earth, there's rest for the weary. No more sickness. No more problem. No more trials. No more tribulation. No more sickness. No more sickness. No more sickness. I'll be there, shouting in heaven. I'll walk without a walker. I'll be able to walk without a walker. I'll be able to get there in no word. I'll be in there in no word. No problem, no pain, no pain. All my pain will be washed away. I want to get there. I want to rest. I want to rest. I can't rest on this side. I want to rest. I want to rest. I want to rest. I want to rest. I'm in yoke with him for many, many years. When I was 10 years old, 62 years ago, I got yoke with him. I've been working with him. One day, I'm going to rest with him. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Give God some praise. Stand up and high five two people. Stand up and high five two people. I'm working for my eternal rest. I'm working for rest. I want 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 rest. One day, I'll rest, rest for the stress. Rest for my labor. You gotta work to get rest. Labor. I'm gonna go and open the doors of the church. And that's what the old folk got. Opening the doors of the church.